The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 4, Text Number 23. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari. Recorded on October 18th, 2010, in Pune, India.
So, today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto number 3, chapter number 4, Vidura approaches Maitreya, text number 23. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Shri Shuka Uvacha.
Yet
Yudhavadupakaranya. Suhridam Duhasanghadam. Gyanena Shamayat Shatha. Shokam Utpatitam Buddha. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Yat Yudhavadupakarnya. Suhridam Dusakhang Vatam. Gyanena Shamayat Shatha. Shokam Utpatitam Buddha. Translation and purport by the Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Sri Shukadev Goswami said, after hearing from Uddhava all about the annihilation of his friends and relatives, the learned Vidura pacified his overwhelming bereavement by dint of his transcendental knowledge. Purport. Vidura was informed the result of the Battle of Kurukshetra was the annihilation of his friends and relatives, as well as the destruction of the Yadu dynasty, and also the passing away of the Lord. All these hurled him into bereavement for the time being, because he was highly advanced in transcendental knowledge. He was quite competent to pacify himself by enlightenment. As it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, due to our long association with bodily relationships, bereavement on account of the annihilation of friends and relatives is not at all astonishing. But one has to learn the art of subduing such bereavement with higher transcendental knowledge. The talks between Uddhava and Vidura on the topic of Krishna began at sunset, and Vidura was now further advanced in knowledge due to his association with Uddhava. Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Sajiva Sajaita Zaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha, Krishna Padam, Sahagana Lalita, Sri Vishakam Vitamscha. So we see here that even great liberated personalities, the associates of the Lord, you see, they become overwhelmed with grief. But they can check that grief by higher knowledge. It is interesting to note in this connection that even Krishna sometimes becomes overwhelmed with bewilderment. When that Agasura demon came in Braj to swallow up Krishna and the cowherd boys, and all the cowherd boys thinking, oh, look at this big cave, went marching in. Another adventure, let's explore this cave. Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book that Krishna became momentarily aggrieved. So sometimes even Krishna becomes aggrieved momentarily. So what does speak of a jiva soul becoming sometimes aggrieved? But the Krishna conscious person, even if he is aggrieved or bereaved due to some close friend or relative being killed or suffering a serious accident or something like that, or himself being put into a very horrible situation, he can curb that down by that bereavement or that aggrievement down by transcendental knowledge. By transcendental knowledge, we can remember who I am, where have I come from, what is my ultimate destination, what is my purpose. Is it? In other words, we have a tendency to see with what is known as tunnel vision. We tend to lose the greater picture of what's going on. And that's why we become bereaved. Do you see the greater picture? The total picture of what's actually happening. How Krishna is drawing all the fallen conditioned souls back to his abode. That's what's happening. By all of the things going on in this material world, it's Krishna's arrangement to draw everyone back, actually. The whole thing is simply for the purpose of drawing everyone back to Goloka Vrindavan. Or, in the case of those who have other rasas, to the Vaikuntha planets. But back to the spiritual world, everything that's going on in this material world is for that purpose. So one has that greater vision. One thinks, well, this is Krishna's arrangement. Why should I be disturbed? Sometimes we think, well, my situation isn't very good. I need to change my situation and then I can be happy. I need to rearrange my external situation, you see, and then I can become happy. One brahmachari, he thought, well, you know, it's pretty austere being a brahmachari. I can't have an intimate relationship with a girlfriend, so I'll get married, you see. Now, then I can be happy. So this brahmachari, he got married. And this is miserable being married. Then he wrote Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I want to take sannyas. Prabhupada was not very happy with his attitude. He's a brahmachari, he's unhappy, he has to become a householder to become happy. Now he's unhappy as a householder, he wants to be a sannyasi. He wasn't getting the point of what Krishna consciousness is all about, you see. He was thinking, am I making external arrangements, then I can become happy. So Prabhupada said, your anxiety, your lack of happiness is not due to your external situation, but it's simply due to your lack of Krishna consciousness. So if I'm not happy as a brahmachari, all I have to do is become more Krishna conscious, then I'll become happy. If I'm not happy as a householder, all I have to do is become more Krishna conscious, and then I'll become happy. If I'm not happy as a sannyasi, I have to become more Krishna conscious. That's it. To become more Krishna conscious, that is the solution. Changing the external situation. That is not the formula. Sometimes that is done to help one to become Krishna conscious, but that doesn't make one Krishna conscious. The only thing that can actually make one satisfied and happy is to become Krishna conscious. So if you ever find yourself with a bewildered mind due to this situation or that situation, just stop for a minute and remember that somehow or other this experience was arranged within Krishna's plan for my coming back to Him. So instead of becoming overwhelmed with grief and thinking, why is Krishna doing this to me? Just try to appreciate that this is Krishna's love coming to you in a way you may not understand, but it's actually the mercy of Krishna. There's a wonderful shloka in this connection, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Tatte nukampam susamikshamano punjana evatmakritan vapakam tabhagvapur virvadadam namaste jiveta yomukti pade sadaya bhag. My dear Lord, those devotees who are constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon them, who continue to suffer the reactions for their past sinful deeds, past sinful misdeeds, while continually offering you respectful obeisances from within the core of their hearts, are certainly eligible candidates for liberation. Indeed, it has become their rightful claim. So would you like to have your ticket back to Godhead in your hand, your reservation on the airplane, the Vaikuntha airplane? Would you like to have your confirmed reservation? Yes. All you have to do is in every situation have an attitude of gratitude. Krishna, I don't know why you did this to me. I don't have any idea why you did this, but I'm thankful, my Lord. Somehow it's for my benefit. There's a story in this connection. There was one king, he had a prime minister. And this prime minister was very Krishna conscious. He said, whatever Krishna does is all right. So one day, the king, he cut off one of his fingers. And he became very grieved, and the prime minister said, don't worry, your majesty, whatever Krishna does is all right. He said, what are you talking about? I lost my finger, and you're saying it's all right? In the dungeon, you rascal. I don't know why I kept you as my prime minister in the dungeon with you. You see? So that prime minister, the king, you know how the Kshatriyas, they would go on the hunting trips. So, kill the wild animals, to practice the killing arts, so when an enemy attacks, they can kill immediately that enemy. They practice that killing art by killing the ferocious animals in the jungle that harass the sages. So, the king, he was on a hunting expedition, and he was captured by some dacoits, disciples, followers of goddess Kali. They would make human sacrifice to goddess Kali. So, they said, oh, this looks like a nice person to sacrifice. So, they got him all ready for the sacrifice. They gave him a bath. They bathed him, put him in new clothes. They're going to feed him his last dinner. Now they're going to sacrifice him to goddess Kali, but they notice, oh my goodness, he's missing a finger. What we can do? Let him go. Can't goddess Kali be furious? You're offering a person with a missing limb to me? They didn't dare offer him to goddess Kali with a missing finger. And they let him go. So he was going back to the palace and thinking, wow, the prime minister was really right. Somehow this is Krishna's mercy. I lost my finger, but it saved my life, you see. So he went back to the palace. He went down into the deep, dark, dense depths of the dungeon to release his prime minister from the cell. The prime minister was completely in bliss, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. The king said, I'm really sorry I did this. What you said was correct. Whatever Krishna does is all right. It saved my life. I lost my finger. So I'm so sorry I offended you. Please now come back and be my prime minister again. But he said, you know, I'm amazed. You don't look at all angry with me. You look completely blissful sitting here in this prison cell. How is it? He said, Your Majesty, I always go on those hunting trips with you, but I have all my fingers. Whatever Krishna does is all right. So in this way, if we can always see that Krishna's arrangement is perfect, a lot of times we just can't understand. Even Prabhupada admitted he could not understand when back in 1970 he felt that he was being sent away from our mission in America. He couldn't understand. Some heavy difficulties happened in our movement, and Prabhupada just wanted to get out of there. He was so disturbed. He couldn't understand why you've done this, my Lord. He was praying to Rukmini Dwarkadish. He could not understand. But that's actually how our movement took off in India, because then Prabhupada came to India, he brought a few disciples, and the thing took off like a rocket here in India. So we can't always understand. Sometimes a reverse situation comes, we cannot understand why this has happened. Why has it happened? Doesn't Krishna love me? Why is he doing this to me? I'm his devotee. Why is he torturing me like this? No. Everything is happening perfectly under the arrangement of Krishna. Everything. We just have to have faith in this principle and see how the loving hand of Krishna is acting in all circumstances. And then our minds will never be disturbed. Even the most bereaving thing happens to us. Will not be carried away by lamentation and illusion. We'll be able to keep our transcendental vision, Shastra Chakshus. It is described, see through the eyes of Scripture. There is also what is known as Guru Chakshus, to be see through the eyes of the spiritual master. This is a very good tip for getting along with other devotees. Sometimes we may have a disagreement with a devotee, and we may find fault with them in the way that they dealt with us. But if we can think, how would Prabhupada see this person? You see, how would his spiritual master? That's what I do. I think, well, how would Prabhupada see this god brother of mine? You see, how much Prabhupada must be appreciating all the years of sincere service this person has rendered to serve Prabhupada's mission. I may have had a hard time with that person, but Prabhupada is surely appreciating his sincere service that he has done for many, many, many years. So in this way, if we will always see through the eyes of Srila, how Prabhupada would see someone or something, see how the scriptures are describing, in this way, elevate your vision beyond the modes of material nature. As long as our vision remains within the modes, what is that called? Illusion. And what does illusion bring you? Nothing but confusion. So, instead of being illusioned and confused, always see through the eyes of the scripture. Always see through the eyes of the spiritual master. And in this way, you'll always be Krishna conscious. And if you're always Krishna conscious, what will you always be? Completely blissed out. That's actually a word in the dictionary now. I looked it up. Blissed out is in the Merriam-Webster's dictionary now. So we can even use it in scholarly circles. I'm blissed out. So, you can pass your questions forward. I've been asked to go a little bit late today, extended a little bit beyond the normal time, because this is my last lecture until about a year from now here in the Pune. So, if you have any questions, pass them forward. If not, we'll end the class early. A whole stack of... I should have said this earlier. You should know automatically from now on when I'm giving a lecture, pass out the sheets of paper in the beginning. That should be automatically known. Does anybody want to ask a question off the paper, just through the air? You may have to relay it to me, what he says. Go ahead and say your question.
When we are following instruction, when we are following instruction of authorities, like preaching and all, so we miss out somewhere, so because of our irresponsibility.
Tell me what he said. If you didn't give the instructions properly, then go back and ask them. I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you wanted me to do. Please make it very clear for me what exactly I'm to do. Does that answer your question? All right, so here's one in writing now. I'm not able to digest the following facts. Gadadhar Pandit is the same as Radharani. Murari Gupta is the same as Hanuman. None of the Buddha is the same. Balaram Harayasakur is Brahmanji. Well, you just got to elevate your consciousness. That's all. You say, well, Harayasakur, how could you possibly be Brahmanji? I mean, you're born in a Muslim family. How could you possibly be Brahmanji? You think Krishna is limited? Do you think Krishna is limited, that he can't have the most amazing pastimes? You think Balaram is limited, that he cannot become Nityananda Prabhu? In other words, this question means I'm putting some limit on God. I'm trying to keep God and his pure devotees within my own brain. You think God has to act within what your brain can conceptualize? He's obliged to act within what you will allow him to do by the limits of your brain. To kindly understand what is called achincha lila, inconceivable pastimes. You see, God is not obliged to, well, I'm sorry if you don't understand, Balaram. Just think of Balaram said, well, I can't, I'm very sorry, my dear Bhakta Joe, if you cannot understand how I can become Lord Nityananda, therefore, so to not disturb your mind, I will not appear as Lord Nityananda. I mean, does that make sense? God is not is obliged to act within what you can conceive of with your tiny brain. You see, he's not obliged. He can do anything and everything, even the inconceivable becomes easily accomplished by the Supreme Lord and his pure devotees. Okay. Some devotees flatter so much that I feel disgusted. What should I do? Flatter who? You? They're flattering you or they're flattering others? I don't, that depends. But whose question is it? Is it they're flattering you or flattering others? Yeah. Flattering you. Yes? Yeah. Not flattering others? No. Flattering you? Yeah. Yes? Yes? Okay. Well, the question then is, how do I, if somebody is praising me, how should I deal with that in a Krishna conscious way? That's the real question. Prabhupada is the perfect example. If someone says, well, so and so, you did wonderful service. You can say, well, actually, I am nothing, but it is the mercy of my spiritual master. If I have done something wonderful, it is all by his grace. So if somebody is glorifying you, you should use that as an opportunity to glorify your spiritual master. Do you understand? Instead of saying, oh, I'm disgusted by your praise of me. That's Mayavadi. That's Mayavadi. A Vaishnava says, it is all the mercy of my Guru Maharaj. That's all. I am nothing but it's by his mercy. In this way, use it as an opportunity to glorify your spiritual master. Okay. Thank you for enlivening your enlivening series of lectures. They solve many of my doubts. What should we do and what should be our attitude? We are misunderstood by others, even by the authorities. Well, sometimes we are misunderstood, even by our authorities. It happens sometimes. Because there's so many things going on. It's a big, very active movement. We're on the battlefield. Yeah, there's sometimes we're misunderstood even by our authorities, and we have to, it's happened to me. I mean, I got in big trouble for something I didn't even do because there was a misunderstanding. So sometimes that happens. You just got to be patient, have faith that these devotees, even these devotees that misunderstood me, I know they're sincere. I don't really blame them. It's just, it's my own karma. It's not really their fault. I'm just getting some reactions from my previous sinful activities. That's all. So you never blame others. That's the way. For things that come against you, never blame others, but just see it as your own misdeeds coming back in the form of karmic reactions. You say, well, come on, I'm initiated. There's no more karmic reaction. But no, there's still the 1%. Even an initiated devotee whose karma has been absorbed by his spiritual master, he still gets a token reaction for his past misdeeds for a while until he becomes completely a Shuddha Bhakta. So whatever comes, you see, well, it's my own misdeeds coming back on me, that's all. I don't blame anyone. How to always keep our habits regulated, prasadam and sleep. Well, adaug, what is it? Jivado. It all begins with the tongue. If you can see that your tongue is never engaged in kukakra, in mundane gramyakata, and is always glorifying Krishna, and that it's only tasting Krishna prasadam, what is necessary to keep body and soul together, then naturally your prasadam and your sleeping will be nicely regulated. How to always remember that I am the servant of Krishna? By always engaging in the service of the servant of Krishna. You'll always remember. Just do it. Do it. Just throw yourself into the service. All right, next question. Okay. All right. Okay. When we are in the lows of our Krishna consciousness, how to see Krishna's hand in everything? Well, my dear Prabhus, when you're in the lows, that is the greatest opportunity. When you're in the low, you see, it's easy to feel good about Krishna when things are going great. You see, when things are going really bad, you see, that's when it's much more difficult. So when things are going, the thing is, when things are difficult, that's when you may have the greatest opportunity for spiritual advancement. So when the lows come, you think, wow, I'm really fortunate. I'm really, really fortunate. This low has hit me now. Now is the greatest, a very wonderful opportunity to make very rapid advancement by, instead of becoming overwhelmed with grief and bewilderment, to say, thank you, Krishna, blessing me with this opportunity to burn off the reactions from my past misdeeds and to become even more deeply absorbed in your service. If we don't have 100% conviction on the Lord and especially His pastimes, what shall we do? I'm about to devote to join full-time, So shall I take more time and take this challenge and risk, and then they will be cleared by Krishna's mercy? Well, I'd like to discuss for a minute this phrase, joining full time. I understand he means moving into the ashram. That's very good. But don't think that full time Krishna consciousness is only for those who live in the ashram. I want everybody in our movement to be a full-time devotee. It's not that someone lives on the outside, that they're only a devotee when they come to the temple. If you're living on the outside, you should be just as much a full-time devotee as somebody who's living in the ashram. What does it mean to be a full-time devotee? It means to be devoted to Krishna 24 hours a day. That's what it means. Was Bhaktivinoda Thakur not a full-time devotee? Because he had a job with the British government. When he went to work for the British government, he was not a devotee then. He became a karmi. That's it. So everybody should join full-time right now, whether you're living at home, living in the ashram, whatever you're doing, whatever you may be, a student, a government leader, whatever, a soldier, whatever you may be, you must be a full-time devotee right now, you see. That is Krishna consciousness. And it is natural that we will sometimes doubt the pastimes of Krishna. Prabhupada told us in Los Angeles, he said that Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill and you were thinking, maybe. So even Prabhupada's initiated disciples, Prabhupada can understand, they are still a little skeptical about all of this Krishna consciousness. So these are initiated devotees who've given their whole life to serve Prabhupada. So it's natural we're going to have some skepticism. It's a natural part of coming out of material consciousness. Just understand that it's par for the course. Everybody has a certain amount of skepticism in their hearts. And we just have to keep chanting, reading, preaching, worshiping, serving. In this way, gradually, all of that skepticism will go away and the full conviction will come. Be patient. Go ahead and dive. I recommend, yes, do join the ashram. Immediately join the ashram. That will help you to overcome your skepticism even more. Please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you very much for your class, which answered my questions which were bothering me. Can you please elaborate on how we can elevate our vision beyond the three modes so that in any situation, circumstances, we can increase our Krishna consciousness? Well, the easy way to get beyond, in other words, we need some engagement. The soul needs, by its very nature, he needs engagement. So if you want to get beyond the modes of nature, you have to have an engagement beyond the modes of nature. You understand? Your life has to be absorbed in an activity which is beyond the modes of nature. So that is our Krishna consciousness movement, you see. This Krishna consciousness movement is beyond the modes of nature. If you fully dedicate your life to making this movement a success, then you're automatically beyond the modes of nature. Take advantage of this movement. It will liberate you from the modes. Please accept my humble obeisances. Kindly let me know how to become more deeply rooted in Krishna consciousness, how to develop a taste for the core of Krishna consciousness principles like reading, hearing, chanting, and serving the Vaishnavas, so I can give up all material attachments. We had a whole class on this the other night. Vishayavani Varatante Nirahar Rashidehina Rashavasham Nasopyasha Param Vishvani Varatate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. So this is what every one of us needs. We have to get that higher taste. We have to understand that Krishna consciousness is more relishable than anything. What if I'm a sex addict? I'm addicted to sex. Or I'm a drug addict. I'm addicted to drugs. Or I'm a speculation addict. I'm addicted to speculation. How will I give up these addictions? You see? By getting that higher taste. The pleasure of chanting Hare Krishna is more pleasurable than having sex with all the beautiful girls in India today. You see? It's more pleasurable than eating the most delicious foods you could ever imagine eating. Is more exciting than doing the most incredible mental speculation to attract the whole world with your so-called philosophical realizations. I mean, the pleasure is just so far beyond anything you could ever experience anywhere, even up to the post of Brahmaji, that it's just a matter of diving into the Hare Krishna mantra, really. That will solve all the problems. Go deep, deep, deep. Someone says, what does that mean to go deep into the mantra? And I say, well, before you were a devotee, did you ever go see a movie? And did you ever get so deeply absorbed in that movie you forgot it was a movie and you thought it was reality? And when the lights came on, then you go, wow, I forgot I was sitting here in Pune. I thought I was in you know, the Fiji Islands, in the Blue Lagoon. So that's what, that's being deeply absorbed. You see, you can deeply absorb in a movie. So in the same way, we have a better movie going on, you see. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Within that Hare Krishna mantra, every single quality of Krishna is present, every single name of Krishna is present, every single form of Krishna is present, every single pastime of Krishna is present, all of Krishna's associates, Govardhan Hill, the river Jamuna, is all there in Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. So just dive deep, like a deep sea diver, and just go jump in and go as deep as you can. And then you're going to taste it. You're going to taste some nectar that's so sublime, you think, wow. I knew that, I heard that Krishna consciousness was pretty sublime, but I had no idea it was this sublime. Okay. Can you please tell when our services are more, how to balance sadhana? Sometimes I'm not able to satisfy the score of 8 or and so in a sadhana course, I don't understand everything. And I'm discouraged as to, I just want to fill the sadhana card. What is this sadhana card? The score of 8. What is this? Score of 8? And if he's not getting a high enough mark on the sadhana card or something. And okay. This is very nice. You have to check off, you know, was attended Mangalarti and all that kind of stuff. Do you have something or somebody who's late also? Or is it, see the apps, do you have late also as a category? Late for Mangalarti? That's there also. Yeah, we tried to institute this in Dallas years ago, my wife and I, and the devotees got so agitated we had to abandon it. I'm happy that you're doing it here. And this is very good, you see. So, because it keeps everybody on their toes. Actually, everyone's supposed to come to Mangalarti. It's not a, this is not a free hotel, you know. This is not the Pune Radisson, you see, where I can just sleep in, kick back, and goof around and think I'm a brahmachari, you know. Brahmachari means tapasya. It means conquering the senses. And if you, I tell you, if you're lazy, if you're allowed to do anything and everything, you're not going to be happy. You'll go back to whatever your nonsense you're doing before if you don't take discipline. Prabhupada personally told me, disciple means discipline. So if you're a disciple, you must be disciplining yourself. It's like in a military academy. You must be disciplining yourself. You see? And if you do that, it's ecstatic. I remember I talked to one brahmachari in our Finland temple, Helsinki. The temple president there was a former military officer. And he runs that brahmachari ashram just like the military. Devotees love it. They like that military discipline. It's actually very enlivening, military discipline. So if you're not able to come up to the mark, well, just try harder. It's not a thing. I mean, the leader should also be very kind also, not just, you know, and it should be like a family at the same time, to encourage someone, just like a little child learning to walk. If he can't quite do it, the parents encourage him. So the leaders, the counselors and the leaders should encourage someone. If they're not able to come up to the mark, they should give them all encouragement to help them. Not to make the people feel they're rejected, nobody loves them because they're having a hard time. Okay, when we have a difference of opinion, it's difficult to have good relationships with devotees. How to see and develop a good relationship? Actually, what is the difference of opinion? I say we should dress the deities this way. You say we should dress the deities that way. So now we're going to become enemies? No, we both agree that we should be dressing the deities nicely. So we have to see that these differences of opinion, they are spiritual, as Prabhupada points out. They're not material. It just it disproves Mayavadi philosophy, that's all. We have to have a broad enough vision to think, well, you have your way of Krishna consciousness, I have my way. Let's learn how to love each other and respect each other, even though we don't always agree with each other. Anxiety caused due to being unable to live up the instruction of the spiritual master's instructions, even if struggling to do so, is it healthy? Yes, it's very good. It's called transcendental anxiety that my Guru Maharaj, just like the order Papa gave us, his disciples in Los Angeles, he said, now you become Guru and you deliver the entire world. Well, I'm in a lot of anxiety because the world isn't delivered. I go out in the street, I see they're drinking beer, they're having prostitutes, they're taking drugs, they're aborting the babies, they're killing the cows. So I'm in a lot of anxiety about this because Papa's instruction to us was become Guru and deliver the whole world. So is my anxiety healthy or not? It's very healthy anxiety. If you feel anxiety that I'm not doing it, my spiritual master said, it's very good. You can pray, then, Krishna, please help me. It seems impossible for me to carry out my Guru's order. But please bless me, I can be successful. Please help me, my Lord. My spiritual master ordered me to do this. I'm not able to do it. And I understand, my Lord, it's due to my own illusion of thinking I'm the doer. That's why I'm not able to do it. If I can simply understand that I'm nothing more than an instrument in the hands of my spiritual master, that's when I will be successful. So if you're not this devotee, if you're not doing, not successful, it's because you still think that you're the doer. Make yourself an instrument, make yourself a puppet in the hands of your spiritual master, and you'll be amazed at what happens. How should we understand such a way? Yeah, okay. All right. You chant Haraya Namaha when everyone else is chanting Hari Haraya Namaha. Can you please explain this? This is stated directly in Prabhupada's books in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Purport. Prabhupada said that after Hare Krishna we should chant Haraya Namaha Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudan. Prabhupada does not use the word Hari in front of Haraya. And when he gives this instruction in the purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now, I don't make a big thing out of it. I don't stop the kirtan and say, why are you chanting Hari? I don't make a big deal out of it because, you know, it's not a big deal. If you throw an extra Hari in, there's nothing wrong. Hari, Hari, Bol. Or you say Hari, Bol or Hari, Hari, Bol. I mean, I'm not going to be uptight about it, you know. It's transcendental. You're throwing in an extra Hari. But don't think that I'm wrong because I don't do the Hari. That's all I'm saying. I'm just following exactly what Prabhupada said in the purport. Haraya Nama. Now, where did Hari come from? Well, there is a bhajan by Narottam Das Thakur in which he included these two lines in his bhajan. And in that bhajan, in the songbook, Hari is there in parentheses before the Haraya line. But that's in the bhajan, which is part of all, it's called Nama Sankirtan by Narottam Das Thakur. In that bhajan, the Hari is put as an option before the Haraya. But that's different from what Prabhupada told us. He didn't tell us to chant that bhajan by Narottam Das Thakur after chanting Hare Krishna. He said, after chanting Hare Krishna, chant Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudan. I'm doing exactly what Prabhupada said. If you add the Hari, I don't have any problem with that. But don't think that I'm weird because I don't chant the Hari. I'm doing exactly what Prabhupada said. You're adding something and I'm not. But all over the movement they're doing it. I mean, it's an ISKCON-wide phenomenon. Everyone adds the Hari in front of it because they think you're supposed to. But you don't have to do that because Prabhupada said, Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya. If you keep doing it, I'm not going to complain, but I'm just saying, if you stop doing it, I'll be very happy. Haraya Nam instead of Hari Haraya. If you don't believe me, look it up in the CC. You see. I actually expect you to be skeptical. Are you pandits now? Oh, you're going to get your CCs out and you see, well, Sankarshan Prabhu is speculating or is he right? I want you to all go look it up in the CC and then you'll know. I want you to get it straight from Prabhupada's mouth, not my mouth. Look it up in the CC and see exactly what Prabhupada says. And you'll see he says, Haraya Nama. He doesn't say, Hari Haraya. Then you can do whatever you feel is most pleasing to Prabhupada after you read his purport. Okay. Thank you, Prabhuji. We're very grateful to you. Please come at least once in 6 months or once in a year. Once in a year is too long. Well, the trouble is I have disciples all over the world, and as a spiritual master, it's my duty to take care of them. So, you know, I have a tight schedule. What can I say? I got disciples in every part of the world, and I have to take care of them. I don't believe in just initiating somebody and then abandoning them. I have to see that they're coming up nicely, like a gardener, you know, looking, tending his plants. So I that's why I'm just coming once a year, because of preaching commitments I have in other parts of the world. Now, if you really want my association, then just go to www.backtohome.com, sign up for Thought for the Day. Of course, you don't have the brahmacharis on the internet access. Yeah, that's actually a blessing. I've seen some brahmachari ashrams where they get carried away by, I don't even want to say it in front of the deities, porno, you know. It's very good that you're protecting your brahmacharis with no internet access. I think some of you became brahmacharis after reading Thought for the Day on the internet, living on the outside. Then you've been inspired to move into the ashram after reading my e-course, and that's good. Do they have email access at all? Email. You can always send an email if you send SDA, Sankarshan Das Adhikari, @backtohome.com. Just shoot me an email once every 6 months. After that 6 months when you want me to be here, just shoot me an email and I'll answer your question. Okay. In the ancient Vedic period, kings were great followers of the Vedas. Brahmins, but why did they like hunting, which is a sin? No, it's not a sin for the Kshatriya. They have to be very so expert that if some enemy walks in the door, they can immediately kill him. You have to, in anything, if you have any skill and you don't practice it for a while, what happens? You lose it. So what happens if there's 20 years of peace? There's a big war, and he gets out there and he kills the enemies. And for 20 years, he doesn't pick up a weapon. He doesn't kill anyone. He loses his touch, you see. So the Kshatriyas, they have a duty to protect the innocent citizens. Therefore, they have to practice the killing art. They have to. And who are they going to kill? Go out and kill some people? No, they kill the ferocious animals that harass the sages in the forest. And that way, they keep their skills. You know, they stay hot, they stay current with their skills. They remain state of the art in their killing talent, you see, by practicing. Can we pay obeisance to the sannyasi in front of the deities in the temple hall? Well, it's an interesting question, because it says in the CC, or in the Nectar Devotion, no, you cannot do so. But when Prabhupada is here, we always did it. Because Prabhupada is a walking deity. The spiritual master is a walking deity. So is it proper then? The devotees asked Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, it says in your books we're not supposed to do it, but we're doing it. And Prabhupada said, that is the dilemma. That was his answer. So in other words, Prabhupada accepted it. We always did it. Didn't matter if the curtains open or the closed. As soon as we see Prabhupada, immediately, he's the personality of servant of Godhead. He's as good as the deities. He's better than the deities for us. So, my advice is, if you ask me, as soon as you see your spiritual master, immediately hit the floor. I don't care where you are, you hit the floor. You hit the floor, you see. And Prabhupada, even if it's breaking one of the rules, there's so many little rules, but they're all according to time, place, and circumstance. It's a more important principle to offer your obeisances to the spiritual master than it is. That's the most important principle, because Rupa Goswami says, Gurashrayam. Now, if your authorities tell you not to do it, then don't do it. But I'm just saying, if you ask me, my disciples do it, and I allow them to do it, because we did it for Prabhupada, and Prabhupada never objected. He always accepted it. So when it comes to certain rules and regulations, we see what Prabhupada, what went on during Prabhupada's time, what pleased him, That, for me, is more important than what's all these little detailed rules and regulations. It's seeing what style of activities and actions was pleasing to Prabhupada, that I see and that I remember. So that I continue to do. Okay. And we are unaware about our etiquettes, but how to act. When in doubt, offer obeisances. When you don't know what to do, offer obeisances, and you'll never be an offender. When in doubt, offer obeisances. Okay. Thank you for the enlivening class, and while you're following the instructions, if we're not able to follow the instructions, we are seeing that somebody is missing the opportunity to become Krishna conscious. We are sorry for this situation. How to feel that everything is going under plan? Is it not a mistake? Well, we are following the instructions. If we are not able to follow the instructions, you see that somebody is missing. Who is that somebody? You or somebody else? The whole point is, we're not going to be able to follow the instructions immediately. It takes time to become a pure devotee. So you just have to maintain your enthusiasm as you gradually improve your abilities. That's all. And be patient. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day. You've got to be patient as you go from sadhana all the way to prema. I mean, from shraddha to prema. Shraddha, sadhusanga, bhajana kriya, anartana vritti. And this way, gradually, you got to keep your enthusiasm. Well, I hate to stop because there's more questions, but we have 30 seconds. Let's see. But time, I do need, we have our schedule, it has to be followed. How to understand the instructions of the spiritual master? Can they be applied directly through lectures, or are we some authority counselor? Do we need some authority or counselor to apply them? Actually, any instruction that's given by the spiritual master, you have the authority to follow them. At the same time, you have to see that in the context of all of his instructions. In other words, don't just take one instruction out of the context of all the other instructions. See all the instructions in context and follow them in toto. That's the plan. That's the idea. If you just take some instruction out of context, ignore everything else, then you may do something that was foolish. One sannyasi did that. The Prabhupada was saying that how it's better to commit, once falls down, it's better to commit suicide. He was making a point like that, but then he was saying that to actually make a point, and then he elaborated. He didn't really mean literally we should do that, but one sannyasi heard that instruction, he took it out of the context, he went off and committed suicide. And Prabhupada wasn't pleased by that. So we have to always be level-headed and see the instructions in the context of all the instructions that are given. Not just take one thing out of context. That's called fanaticism. Take one instruction out of the context of the whole body of instructions. So we have to understand how to please the spiritual master by taking all of his instructions, because he did tell me to follow my temple authorities and my counselor. So, but the ultimate authority is your spiritual master, that's a fact. We discussed this in length the other day. The ultimate authority is your spiritual master, but he's also told you to follow your counselor. So therefore you have to be sincere, and then it will not be confusing. If you're insincere, it'll always be confusing. But if you're sincere, what does Krishna say? Teisham satati yuktanam bhajatam putti purvakam tadami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upiyanti te. For those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I will give them the understanding of how to follow their guru and their counselor. You see? How to come to me. So you just got to be sincere, Prabhus, Matajis. Just be very sincere to become a pure devotee of Krishna, and the Lord within your heart will give you all guidance how to follow the instructions in such a way. The instructions coming from counselor, instructions coming from guru, but ultimately all the instructions are coming from Krishna. So all you really have to do is connect with Krishna and see how the instructions are all coming from Him. And in this way, you can easily become the pure devotee and finish up your rotation in the cycle of birth and death and go back to home, back to Godhead at the end of this very lifetime. So kindly do that. Become the pure devotees. Make the whole India into pure devotees. Make the whole world into pure devotees. This is our request. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.